Immerse yourself in rich biblical history and Christian heritage with Vision Tours, exploring Australia, the Holy Lands, and other global destinations. Forge bonds of lasting friendship as you fellowship with like-minded believers and discover a new richness in your faith in Christ and a broader understanding of the world's Christian heritage. Enjoy the fellowship of a lifetime with Vision Tours. Explore upcoming tour packages at vision.org.au/tours.
A biblical perspective on life, culture, and current events. This is 2020 on Vision.
Well, this time on a Thursday, we like to connect with Christian social commentator David Robertson. He's back with us. Of course, David writes for newspapers, magazines, and he's the author of a number of books, including The Dawkins Letters and Engaging with Atheists. He's also the minister at Scots Kirk Presbyterian Church in Newcastle in New South Wales, and his insightful blog is called theweflee.com. David, a special welcome back to 2020.
Yeah, nice to be back with you. And as we're reflecting on this, just really strange to be celebrating Christmas in the middle of summer. That's all I'm saying.
Well, that's what you get for being a Scotsman and growing up in a cold, Christmassy environment. And you've just got to adjust to our side of things here down under. Hey, Christmas in a post-Christian society, David. Our Christian way of thinking, perhaps not at the centre of Australian people and thinking about Christmas time. What are your thoughts around, big picture, post-Christian society? Some will debate whether we're in that, but what do you think?
I think we're heading towards it. I think Australia has many different cultures, and so sometimes it depends where you are, but I would say that for a significant number of people, probably a majority of people, probably a little bit reflective of a woman I heard go into a bookshop once, and they were playing Christmas carols, and she complained, for goodness sake, they're even bringing religion into Christmas.
As I reflect on these things, and you know what? I think someone with a mature way of thinking, you do think, what if it was just Christmas without Christ? Maybe we're just going to buy presents for one another, and it's a time of year where you have a holiday and you go to the beach and all those sorts of things. But, I've been reflecting, David, and I'll get your thoughts too here, from someone who has tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And you can reflect on Christmas. Christmas without Christ is practically meaningless. Any thoughts from you here?
Well, in one sense it might not be. So it's interesting because in the country I was brought up in Scotland, we actually didn't celebrate Christmas very much at all. In fact, in my youth, we celebrated New Year much more. And even then in the church, and one of the reasons for that was some people in the church were concerned that Christmas had originally been a pagan festival and had been taken over. Now, I think that's only partially true. But in Northern Europe, let's put it this way, it's lovely after the shortest day when it's cold and dark to have a festival that's about light, to have a festival that's about giving and so on. And I do think the Christian church took on board a lot of that. Now, I think for me, it's not wrong, for example, to have a family feast. Someone have a family feast. It's not wrong to give gifts to one another and all these different things. And it's not even wrong to go down to the seafood market and buy a whole bunch of prawns and cook them on the barbie and at the same time have songs about snow in the middle of winter blaring out through your speakers. It's inconsistent, but it's not wrong. But I think that we miss out on a phenomenal amount. And sometimes I think Christians miss out on this when we exclude Christ. And one of the things that really strikes me that's quite astonishing, most Christmas songs are quite trite and trivial. I've just been listening to, I do a podcast, as you say, and I've just been preparing it. I was listening to Bob Dylan's song on It Must Be Santa, and I recommend anyone go to YouTube and have a listen to it, because it's so not like Bob Dylan. He sounds in tune, and it's very joyful and so on. But it's trivial, it's trite, and most songs are. There aren't many that are otherwise, except for Christmas carols. And I think Christmas carols generally teach the most profound Christian theology, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, and so on. So I think the carols are wonderful. I think the opportunity to reflect on the incarnation and the birth of Christ is wonderful. And I'm beginning to suspect that in a post-Christian society, Christmas actually becomes more meaningful, not less meaningful, for Christians.
That's a powerful way of thinking it, because if you experience the Christ of Christmas, then perhaps any other celebration is going to seem a little bit trite, a little bit less important. But it does lead you to think, doesn't it, that, you know, if Christmas has got this Christian worldview about it, the baby in the manger, Bethlehem, you know, Mary and Joseph, the incarnation, here's the arrival of the Saviour of the world, the long-awaited one who was being prophesied, and you appreciate that and you have a sort of a godly, divine-level view of what this really is all about, what it means, and then you say it's being replaced in a secular sort of a way with any sort of other celebration. And maybe we did adopt those celebrations from the Northern Hemisphere and beyond the shortest day. Maybe we adopted those, we Christianized those now, but we're at risk, David, and I'll get your thoughts here, at risk of replacing what is so good and so powerful, a time of celebration, with some other tribal ideologies driven by marketing firms selling goods and services. There's something a little bit different about that, isn't there?
Yeah, and I think the church can here set a really good example, because it's funny, and also because, you see, Christmas in Australia ties in with the beginning of the summer holidays. And so, like, Australia goes dead for the whole month of January, and I think that one of the things that we in the church could do is, I meet people and say, oh, I'm really busy. So I'll tell you one practical thing that my own church did. We were all getting wound up to have a Christmas Eve carol service, which we hadn't done for a while. And I kind of decided not to do it, decided to have it on the Sunday, because there are so many meetings. There are so many different things. People are so busy. They're so consumed with consumerism, but also with things that they have to do. And for many, many people, it's a time of great, great stress. So I think it's a great opportunity. Here in the church, we have some people who provide a meal for people who are single or just want some company on Christmas Day. They do it in the church hall. That's great. Other people go to be with their families. That's great. But I actually think Christmas should be quite a chilled out time and should be an opportunity for us to back off and to reflect upon Christ and what he's done. And I'll give you an example. Somebody wrote, I always get involved in these silly social media disputes, but somebody wrote on X that how can you celebrate Christmas when there's a bloodbath in Gaza? And I wrote back and said, I can celebrate Christmas in exactly the same way as when Jesus came, because there was bloodbath then. There were 2,000 babies killed in Bethlehem. And there was a Roman colonizing power taking over. I said, Christ came into a world filled with war. How are you going to get peace? Not by hanging something on a Christmas tree and singing, they say there'll be peace on earth, or, you know, singing the little drummer boy or something. It's only through Christ that we will get peace on earth. And so I think there's a powerful, almost countercultural message that we have in our Christianity, and in Christ. But I do think that we're too inclined just to reflect the world, and maybe we ourselves need to back off a little bit and make sure we've got some time to remember Christ.
Peace on earth, goodwill to men. And that's more than just a sentiment if you were backing off and just relaxing into the season. If you were someone who has experienced those really deep and powerful thoughts, that understanding of what it is to appreciate the season of Christmas from that Christian view, giving that up, because if you talk about being in a post-Christian age, so easily to be swept along by the current of the sort of humanistic idea. Just reflecting on the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the Galatian church, Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, he said, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. evidently some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. I guess Christmas is what we choose it to be, but if you have experienced something of the powerful spiritual divine impact of Christmas, you might be quick to not desert that sort of sentiment. Any thoughts from you, Dave?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I think that as Christians, we need to do this. We actually need to be very, very deliberate. So I am sorry. I mean, I don't know if there are many listeners who will have this opportunity, but I'm sorry that the tradition that we used to have of midnight Christmas carols and so on, that's kind of gone. I'm glad that many churches still have Christmas Day services, and I think it's a great way to begin. I know here we would have ours at 9 o'clock because it allows families and others to come, and then they go off to Sydney or elsewhere. I mean, I'm quite amazed as an outsider just how busy the roads are here in Christmas. In Scotland, they're dead as can be, you know, but people are obviously traveling to visit relatives and all the rest of it. It's actually a very dangerous time to travel. But I think that, going to church on Christmas morning, reminding your children that this is what it's about, not about the presents and so on. And I think taking the opportunity just to back off a bit from the busyness of our lives. And I know for a lot of people over Christmas, they go, nah, you're kidding. Christmas is busier than ever. Well, I'm saying, okay, well, chill it out. You don't have to make it so busy. Make it about family, make it about Christ, and just show a different way. And I'll tell you another thing that can very easily be done is you can go and give gifts to neighbors. And it's also a great opportunity with relatives to give them good Christian books. You know, I wrote a couple of books for teenagers, Seek and Ask, and I love every year people say, oh, I'm giving these to my teenage nephews or whatever. And I think that's a wonderful thing. By the way, there's another custom that I really regret that we've gone back on, and that is Christmas cards, actual real ones, you know, that we post to people. I mean, I couldn't post Christmas cards to my relatives in Scotland because I would have to take out a mortgage to do so. You know, it's so expensive, but Christmas cards used to be a great way of keeping in touch with people. And also, as a Christian, you were able to put Christian messages on them because that was the point. Most people accepted that. And I'm sorry that that tradition has gone. Maybe we should revive it.
Yes, it's difficult even just sending an email. It should be easy, but you're right. The cards have gone out. But even as you're reflecting on those things that you might do at Christmas time, what I can hear is that you're actually saying there are some traditions you need to develop, and maybe you need to look like you're the duck just beautifully moving across the top of the water, but underneath somehow or other your little legs are paddling so that you can move around. There's a certain amount of work to be intentional about creating those sorts of traditions, and you want those traditions to last from one generation to the next because that's how you somehow or other keep a hold of these divine truths. Any thoughts here around traditions, even as we're saying, you know, hey, just chill out and relax and let it happen?
Well, partly, yeah, but also I think, I'll tell you what's going through my head even as I'm talking to you, and I'll maybe need to, next year, I think we'll plan this a bit better in my own context and in my own church. But I think as the church and as Christians, we need to reflect on how we do Christmas differently in a post-Christian society. Not just calling people back to old traditions, but that you've got a very interesting idea. Maybe setting up some new ones, you know, that would be interesting. And actually in Australia, maybe setting up some Australian-specific ones. You know, there's an opportunity. When you think about it, there's an opportunity for hospitality. There's an opportunity for kindness shown to neighbors. There's an opportunity for helping the poor. And there is certainly an opportunity for proclaiming Christ. It's interesting. We have a prayer and praise, and they stopped it for over Christmas and New Year. And a couple of the members of that group said, isn't this the wrong time to stop it? And on reflection, I think, yeah, they're probably right. We probably need to pray and praise even more. And I do think in Australia, because it's combined with the summer holidays or leading into the summer holidays, that does make it different. So maybe next year, I don't know, maybe Vision Radio and others of us can reflect a bit more on how do we celebrate the birth of Christ in 21st century Australia in the kind of culture that we have, and can we develop new traditions that we can pass on?
You know, as I was preparing for our conversation today, I read an article. It was about Christmas in a post-Christian world. The author of the article was Colin Watson, and he picked up on an illustration that I'm sure I've heard before, but in the Christmas context, it really does seem to make a lot of sense, because if you take Christ out of Christmas, he says this, a group of bricklayers. When the first one is asked what he's doing, he responds, "I'm moving bricks," which is, you know, what you do to go through the motions of Christmas. The second one responds, says, "I'm building a wall." And you might say there's some intentionality about that and getting some good family traditions in place. But the third bricklayer, with great pride and obvious enthusiasm, responds, "I'm building a cathedral." And the sense in which there is purpose around the intention of moving the bricks, that gives us, I think, an extra dimension that should be there or could be there for our own Christmas traditions, for our own families, for our own communities. Any thoughts here, Dave? I mean, we're talking Christmas in a post-Christian age. Somehow or other, you've got to be having your eye on the cathedral, don't you? Not just moving around the bricks.
Well, yeah, and you've hit something, dare I say it, on the nail there, because the point about the cathedral, I think the famous cathedral in Barcelona took like 200 years to build. The point about our society, we're very immediate gratification and so on. And maybe we need to think a bit longer term about things. So, you know, you're an older person, you've got grandchildren, maybe they don't go to church or whatever, but giving them one Christian book. You've got neighbors, you know, just being kind to them. You may see nothing from that for years, but basically you're breaking up ground and sowing seed. And I think also the building the bricks, we're talking about leaving it for the next generation and the generation after that. I think we need to think much, much longer term. And this is a very interesting way of thinking about it. You know, I'm thinking right now, well, Christmas is, what, in 6 days' time? I've still got some presents to get. What am I going to do? You know, maybe I should be thinking, this is Christmas 2024. If the Lord doesn't come before then, what will Christmas 2074 be like, when I'm almost certainly not going to be around? And, you know, what seed can we be sowing for that even now? And so I think in the church we've made this big mistake of continually chasing after the culture. Maybe we need to be a bit more countercultural and start leading it, or at least challenging it.
Start leading and actually creating culture, and you might do wisely to do that. Hey, I mentioned you're the minister at the Scots Kirk Presbyterian Church in Newcastle. What is Christmas Day or Christmas Eve looking like? I think you said you've got a Christmas Eve gathering at your church? What does things look like? If, you know, for listeners who might be thinking, Newcastle sounds like a great way to go and spend Christmas, and you want to drop in and see David Robertson, what are you doing for this Christmas?
Well, indeed, even over the summer. So, I mean, I it's funny, the only time the beaches here are as busy as Sydney and is in January, you know, and all the Sydneysiders come up, you know, and I'm sure there must be a few Christians come up. So you'd be very welcome. I mean, on Christmas Day, on this coming Sunday, I've been doing a mini series on the Incarnation from Colossians. We'll finish that in the morning. We'll have a carol service at our Alive at 5. And then on Christmas Day at 9 o'clock, we have a short Christmas Day service. So it's fairly simple and fairly straightforward. They have a meal in the hall here as well for people who are perhaps going to be on their own. So I really enjoy Christmas, actually. People say to me, oh, it must be really stress for you, and, you know, you must have all these extra things to do. And I'm going, nah, not really. It's a normal Sunday plus one extra service, and I get a couple of days off, so I'm all right about it.
Okay. Hey, you know, I think there are listeners who've been listening out for these David Robertson updates and really enjoying the fact that sometimes the things we talk about are a little bit unconventional, and you like to push the envelope a little here and there, and you make us think in a special way, and takes us out of our usual thinking and makes us think about other opportunities and other possibilities. And it's been a great opportunity this year, David. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule and sharing thoughts with listeners right across Australia here on Vision. I can just say personally, appreciate your insights every time we talk, and I think listeners appreciate you too. This is our last update for the year, and you know, God willing, we'll be doing these regularly again next year too. But David, merriest of Christmas and Happy New Year to you, and thanks so much for a great year on 2020.
And to you as well. I actually, you make it very easy. I enjoy talking to you. If I didn't enjoy talking to you, I wouldn't do it, believe you me. But it is. It's great. And it's great that God has given us this technology and we can think out loud. And a happy Christmas to you and to all your listeners. And I just pray that all of us would know Christ deeper and better.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.